Good morning, church family. I hope you're not laughing at me already. I don't need that. But thank you anyway. So I'm having a surreal moment I'll share with you. This is the first sermon I'm preaching as a retired man, and don't know how I feel about that. Number two, this is the first sermon I'm preaching after about 45 years that I'm not an elder or part of a church leadership, and that's kind of surreal. I want to take the opportunity on behalf of Cindy and myself to thank you all for a wonderful 23 years here serving as an elder and a full-time worker, one of the greatest privileges of our lives. I want to thank my fellow elders for, my goodness, if I started with a list of blessings, your generosity, your care, for giving me a big leash to go to speak at camps and conferences, I am a blessed man. Now, we're not going anywhere, but we're still going to be here. Anyway, I thought I would share that surreal moment with you. That was a great time of singing. You know that My Lighthouse song is kind of special to us. Years ago, a handful of us went on a Mercy Me cruise down to the Bahamas, and that group was the other band, and they sang that song every night, and so it's kind of special to us. Well, today is part six in our final section of our series on the book of Proverbs. If you like following along in a bulletin, it's in your bulletin. The outline is in the bulletin, in your inbox. And today, the message, our final message, we've talked about in this series, the tongue. We've talked about pride, about raising children, about managing our finances in light of eternity. And I forget what the other one is. But today, the title is Life and Death in Proverbs. And the subtitle is More Than Just About Having a Pulse. Typically, we Christians in the West classify death in two categories: physical death or physical life, or heaven and hell, spiritual life or spiritual death. And those are taught in the Bible, and we should talk about those. But the words life and death have a rather wide range of meaning in the Bible. There's much more to life for the believer than just having a pulse or having our name written in the book of life, as important as those two issues are. For example, in John 10:10, we have the words of the Lord Jesus, "I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." Notice the difference in this verse from possessing eternal life and experiencing it abundantly. Now, the moment we or any person believes in Jesus for eternal life, for the free gift of eternal life, that person receives eternal life that is irreversible. It is irrevocable. In other words, it can't be earned, returned, or lost. But once we're saved, we find that there are different degrees of enjoying that eternal life. That's what this message is about. It's not about physical death or life. And today it's not about going to heaven or hell, having spiritual life or spiritual death. It's about another kind of life, and that is enjoying the abundant life now. So what determines the degree to which we enjoy that eternal life? I'm going to give you my two cents here. My observation is that Christians who become men and women of the book, the Bible, God's Word, God's manual, and consistently apply God's wisdom and instruction to their lives, it is my humble observation that these people enjoy a more abundant experience of their eternal life in the here and now. Let me put it another way. God is not just concerned about getting people to heaven when they die, as wonderful as that is. He's concerned about our existence as believers, as His children, now, in the here and now. And He wants His children to experience the best quality of that life. Again, that's what this message is about. Let me encapsulize it. God wants us to understand that eternal life is not only about its duration, its length, but he also wants us to understand its rich and full, abounding nature. Again, that's what this passage or this message is about. Let me give you an example. As I look around, I see many parents in this room. As parents, we're not only concerned that our children have a safe birth and then have a peaceful death at the ripe old age surrounded by loved ones, as wonderful as that is. As parents, we want our children to enjoy a full experience of life, right? A great school experience. We want them to have good friends, excel in sports, drama, debate, get good grades on the SATs, go to college maybe, or get a job. We want them to experience falling in love and marrying that perfect, non-toxic spouse. We want them to have beautiful, non-rebellious children, don't we, as parents? And then as they go on, we want them to excel in their jobs and flourish and enjoy contentment as they grow old together with their soulmate. I know that's what I would like for my children. I think that's what you would like. Now, if we as fallen sinners want this for our children, imagine how a perfect heavenly Father in heaven desires the well-being of his children, you and I. But the thing is, this doesn't just happen by accident. You don't wake up one day, how did I get so content in life? Doesn't happen that way. Raising children, parents need to be involved every step of the way, right? Giving guidance and wisdom and patience and training. Wouldn't you say that as parents, we seek to save our children from a wasted, death-like existence in the here and now? None of us want our children to experience that kind of death-like. God also wants his children to live well, to be good at life, to flourish, to live in harmony with himself, with our family members, and with others. And so, as is my custom, let me give you the big idea of our sermon. God not only wants to save us from the lake of fire, he also wants to save us from a wasted life in the here and now. We're going to go to Proverbs, but we're going to take a little detour on the way. Would you do me a favor and open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is going to give instructions on widows. We're not going to study widows, but I want to point out a term, a phrase that the Apostle Paul uses in this passage to kind of set the tone for our message today. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. The Word of God says this: support widows who are genuinely in need. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. The widow who is truly in need and left all alone has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. However, now before I read this last phrase, Paul is setting up a widow's list for those widows to receive help. And on this list are godly widows who spend their day doing good things and prayer and petitions. And verse 6 changes. It says, however, she who is self-indulgent, now remember, these are believers on the widow's list. Notice, I don't know what your version says, but mine says, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. That phrase, I want to set the tone of what I'm talking about today. You can be a believer but miss out on the degree of enjoying abundant life. As a matter of fact, you could get away from the Lord and have physical life, have spiritual life, but experience a death-like existence in the here and now when we allow sin into our lives, dead even while she lives. This was a relative of ours, would break our hearts. Well, guess what? If it breaks our heart, imagine God. God's heart yearns to see his children thrive and be saved from a life of spiritual impoverishment. Usually we only hear about God's amazing plan to save sinners from the lake of fire. But as we're going to see today in the book of Proverbs, God has an extensive plan to save his children from spiritual ruin in the here and now. And his plan involves getting to know his manual, the Word of God, and particularly the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is not pie-in-the-sky theory. It's his wisdom put in shoe leather, skill for living the daily life on earth in the nitty-gritty real world, finances, the tongue, lust, all these things. And God delights to give us this wisdom so that we can navigate skillfully through life to avoid spiritual impoverishment and bring glory to God. We might call the plan saving the saved. Now, most of you here, if not all of you, are born again, so you don't need to be saved from the lake of fire. But did you know that there's a whole host of other things that we as Christians need to be saved from? We could actually say we need to be saved this morning. And one of the things we need to be saved from is a potential life of spiritual impoverishment like these widows who are alive, but they're really experiencing a death-like life. And so God presents in the Scripture a very wide plan of salvation. Yes, there is salvation from the lake of fire, but there's salvation from temporal spiritual ruin in the here and now. After over almost 50 years of pastoral ministry, let me tell you that Christians can behave badly and experience spiritual impoverishment even though they have their ticket stamped for heaven. And so the life and death passages that we'll study here now in Proverbs is not about life in heaven. It's not about death in a lake of fire. Rather, they are about believers experiencing abundant life in the here and now. It's about living well, being good at life, flourishing and living in harmony with our God, with our spouse, with our children, with our neighbors, with our church family. Now, I told you we're going to take a little detour. I want to just take you through a little tour of Deuteronomy. Actually, we're only going to look at three passages. So in your Bibles, would you do me a favor and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30? Let me just set the scene here. The first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt, they're gone. They're dead. 40 years in the wilderness. Finally, the last one dies. It's now time for Moses and Joshua to lead the second generation into the promised land. They're at the border of Kadesh Barnea. And Moses is giving them Deuteronomy. He's basically giving them the law over again, in a sense. He's saying, look, God's going to lead you in. He's going to bless you. But when you get in there, don't forget God. Don't forget his law. Bad things will happen to you. Imagine this, Moses, you know, I don't know how they did it. They didn't have loudspeakers or whatever, but this whole crowd, this huge crowd is before Moses, and he's giving them this law. And he gets to the end of his sermon, pretty much in chapter 30, and notice what it says in verse 15. If you can imagine this in your mind, these are his final comments. He's kind of having an evangelistic zeal now to drive home his point of his sermon. And in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30, he says, see, today I have set before you, now notice in your passage, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. And what he means is, in Deuteronomy 28, he says, look, if you follow my commands, and he unlists this long list of how God is going to bless them, in the promised land. He's going to bless them in the field, with the crops, in the kitchen, in the womb, all kinds of blessings. But in the middle of chapter 28, he stops and he says, but I'll tell you what, if you turn away from me and forget me, and then he unrolls a whole bunch of other things that are really not good, famine, pestilence, even being taken away by a foreign nation. So he delivers his sermon and he says, look, today I'm setting before you life and blessing or death and cursing. You choose. You choose the life you want to live in your new existence in the promised land. Four words here. Life and prosperity, death and adversity. What do you want? I know what I want. I think I knew what the Israelites wanted, but they dropped the ball, didn't they? If you read the story. Drop down one more verse. It's like Moses is getting to his point, you know, his main idea. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, for I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances. Listen, so that you may what? Live. God wants his people to thrive. And he's putting before them two options. Notice that God has given man volition. You decide the kind of spiritual life you want to have. You decide the abundant life that you want to experience in your life. You have volition. Moses is saying, look, here's your options. You choose. And I love this verse. Verse 16. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, so that you may live. Now, think about this. They already have physical life. Probably most of them have spiritual life. So what is he saying? So that you may thrive as God's children in the here and now. And the Lord your God may bless you in the land. One more verse. Drop down to verse 19, same chapter. Deuteronomy 30, 19. So he's wrapping it up. If this was a symphony, this would be the climax. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you. Now notice what he's setting before them. Life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. So he uses the word life and live. Again, they already have physical life, and most of them already have spiritual life. So you know what he's saying? The degree to which you follow me and my word is the degree to which you will be blessed and thrive. Choose life, he says. Well, we're not Israelites, and we weren't there, but I think we can make an application here. Notice that God has created man with volition. He gives us a choice. And Moses encourages us, guys, life, death, choose life, please. Choose life. God wants to bless you as you go in. He doesn't want to send the Assyrians or the Babylonians and take you away. He doesn't want to send pestilence and drought and famine. He wants to bless you. Choose life. And so his point was simply that the full enjoyment of life would depend on them choosing life. Now, I want to point out something. We're going to go to Proverbs now. In most of the verses that we're going to see in Proverbs, I want you to notice something. The verses in Proverbs that talk about us thriving and enjoying life are connected to a condition. And that condition is hearing. Okay, in the Bible, it's not just listening or hearing words, it's put into practice. Listen to my statutes, my ordinances, and don't forget them. There's a connection, as I started in the introduction. It is my observation that those who take the Bible seriously live a different kind of life. They live a higher degree of this abundant life. So we see in Deuteronomy, life is much more than having a pulse. So let's turn to the book of Proverbs now. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Life and death, the words life and death in Proverbs are major topics. If you do a concordance study, I did mine in the Christian Standard Bible, you know what I found? The word life in Proverbs appears 49 times, and the word live appears 23 times. So if you're a good mathematician, that comes out to 72 times that the words life and live appear in Proverbs. And there's only 31 chapters. It kind of averages out to about 2 times per chapter. It's a big motif, life and live. And as we see, life and live in Proverbs means more than just having a physical life. They have to do with a quality of life. They have to do with living well, being truly and fully alive. And this is a significant teaching from God's word, as the fall, have you noticed, the fall has so negatively affected the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of humanity. The fall has done a bad number on us. And as a result, many believers, even though they have their ticket stamp for heaven, even though they have eternal life, go through life with a low quality of living. They miss out on being fully alive. We experience anguish and depression and anxiety, broken lives, broken homes, addictions, doubt, guilt, shame. And the sad thing is, we get used to it. And we drift from God, and we get used to the distance. And God's heart is breaking. He wants us to enjoy Him, His good gifts. He wants us to thrive and flourish in the here and now. God isn't uncaring and aloof with what we struggle with or what we suffer with. And what He's done, particularly in the book of Proverbs, is He's given us a roadmap to life beyond just having a pulse, but rather a roadmap to enjoy a quality of living where we are truly alive. And what's nice is this offer is over the counter and it's free. Let's begin. What we're going to look at here now is a few verses in the book of Proverbs. I want you to notice that most of them are linked to the Word of God. Abundant life in the here and now as believers is linked to the book. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 1, if you will turn there, please. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. I love the way this starts. But whoever listens to me, God personified in wisdom. You would expect that, right? Hey, I'm God. I created the universe. I'm all wise. I'm your Father. I want you to be blessed. So whoever listens to me, in other words, whoever listens to what I say, my instructions, my commands, because really I have your best interest in mind. It is to your best interest that you listen to me. But notice what he says. But whoever listens to me will live securely. Ooh, think of the world we live in now. It's topsy-turvy, economics, wars, earthquakes. God comes along and says, you know what, if you listen to me, I'm not going to say you're not going to suffer or you won't have problems or there won't be wars, but I've got your back. Whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. So wisdom calls out, live securely. Wisdom offers safety and freedom from fear. She offers peace. You know, if we had a pill that we could give out for people to enjoy peace of mind, we'd be millionaires. Here's the pill. It's over the counter. It's free. Listen to me. Listen to my word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Boy, if you have a marker, listen to this passage, two verses. My son, Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, my son, don't forget what? My teaching. But let your heart keep what? My commands. Now here's the big payoff. A little commercial break here. The Word of God is integral to living the abundant life. It is so important. We put it in the middle name of this church. Fenton Crossing what? Bible Chapel. And by the way, this is a good time if you've never read the Bible straight through. You know, we're at the beginning of the year. It's January. Get yourself a one-year Bible. Or read the Bible through with a commentary. If you're not in the Word, get in the Word, because what you're going to see in this study is your vital link to the Word of God is directly linked to your well-being in the here and now. Not about the amount of money you make, or if you're retired, or what cruise you go on, as wonderful as those things are. My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my command. Now notice the payoff here in verse 2. For they will bring you three things. Many days. I love this next one. A full life. Who doesn't want a full life? And well-being. Notice that Lady Wisdom offers something beyond just being alive. She's saying, look, if you do it God's way, hold on to His teachings, grasp it, don't let it go. Generally speaking, you will live a long life, you will have a full life, and you will experience well-being. In other words, a wholesomeness and general prosperity. And God offers it free of charge. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, notice again the connection between the Word of God and prosperity. Proverbs 4:4 says this, He taught me and said, your heart must hold on to my word. Keep my commands. And how does the verse end? And live. You see the connection to holding on to God's word and living? You see the importance of the Word of God in your life? Not just to read it, but to put it in the shoe leather in your life. This is golden. Keep my commands and live. Well, they already have a pulse. And they probably already have spiritual life. What is He offering them? Well-being in the here and now. The idea is that holding on to the Father's wise counsel leads to a life that counts, the best kind of life possible. And again, live here is more than physical life. The idea is really being alive. Notice the phrase, hold on to. As the wisdom is passed down, each generation must embrace it. For the next generation to drop the baton would be tragic. I want to take a commercial break and speak to the young couples today and the young people in our church, the young singles. You must embrace the baton of the Word of God. If you want to have a good marriage, good life, I'm not saying it's problem-free, you must be a serious student of the Word of God. You must apply it. You know, we do a lot of counseling, and so many people are ill-prepared to go down the aisle for the big leagues of life, to have a good marriage, to raise godly children. We do ourselves damage by clouding out of the Word of God in our lives. Can I challenge you, young people? Know your Bible. Get a plan. Make it a goal that when you die, you've studied all 66 books of the Bible. You don't want to get to heaven. And Malachi says, what'd you think of my book? Oh, sorry, I was too busy, man. Dancing with the Stars was on, and I love that show. And Proverbs 3, verse 18. I'll take you back in your mind to the Garden of Eden. Remember there were two trees, right? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was the other tree? Tree of life. And when Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit, They had to be physically separated from the tree of life. We believe that because if they would have ate it, they would have been kind of consigned to a death-like existence forever. But I want you to notice this verse. Proverbs 3:18 says, she, Lady Wisdom, notice the description, is a tree of life. Now, we've heard about that tree, right, back in the garden? She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. And those who hold on to her are happy. You want to be happy, don't you? I want to be happy. Randy Alcorn wrote a whole book, said, you know what, we translated the word blessed wrong. It should be happy. I want you to think about this. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the privilege of eating from the tree of life and enjoying that. They lost the opportunity for immortality. And they were separated from the tree of life. You know, we all know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know what fall short there means? It means missing out on what we could have been, what we could have had. Could it be, and I just want to float this for you to think about, could it be that the reference here to the tree of life might suggest that what was lost in the garden could be, to a degree, restored and embracing Proverbs' wisdom. In other words, let me put it this way. The verse says, she, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Could it be that this tree of life holds out the promise of escape from a miserable, death-like existence in the here and now, avoiding a spiritually impoverished existence? Could it be that Solomon's imagery here is saying, you know what, we lost immortality back in the garden, but you know what, to a degree, we could get some of that back by embracing the tree of life, the wisdom that God imparts to us. I just float that out for your consideration. So in other words, by seeking after wisdom, a believer can gain back the best kind of life that God offers in the here and now to a degree. That is a rich quality of life that leads to true happiness. Proverbs chapter 8. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. This verse sheds light. I'm sorry, I'm going to read, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. For the one who finds me, Lady Wisdom personified, for the one who finds me finds life. Did you catch that? There's that word again. Whoever finds me, whoever taps into this wisdom, what does Proverbs say? What do you find? You find life and obtain favor from the Lord. Remember what Proverbs 4:13 says? Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Now listen to this. Guard it, for it is your life. Wow. You know, you hear teenagers, oh, my video game, it's my life. Or athletes, oh, sports is my life. God comes along and he says, you know what? My instruction is really your life. Not that those other things aren't good. Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it. This should be a blinking light in our Bibles. You want life? Here it is. Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it. Let these words sink in. For it, the instruction of the Lord, it is your life. That's pretty powerful. This is an interesting saying. Wisdom is your life? You know, wisdom and life are more connected in the book of Proverbs than any other concept. So let's summarize these last couple of verses. You find wisdom, you find life. You guard wisdom, for it is your life. Proverbs 7. This is a real good passage. Proverbs 7, verses 1 and 2. I want you to notice again the connection to God's word, instruction, his commands with living. My son, obey, here it is, my words, treasure my commands. That's an interesting way to put it. Treasure my commands. Keep my commands. What does it say? Live. See the connection? Between treasuring God's word and living abundantly, and guard my instructions as you would the pupil of your eye. The pupil of your eye is very sensitive. We kind of guard it. And so Solomon brings up this imagery. Take the word of God and guard it like it's the pupil of your eye. Proverbs 14, verse 27. Proverbs 14, 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Have you ever noticed these passages before? Who doesn't want a fountain of life in their life? How do you get it? You fear the Lord. You fear his word. It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning people away from what? The snares of death. Life in Proverbs is much more than just having a pulse. And we can go on. I mean, 72 times we find the word live and life. But let me give you a summary before we switch channels here. What is the author offering with these words life and live? I've made a list from the verses. A secure life, undisturbed by the dread of danger. Many days of full life, well-being. It's like, where do I sign up? Happiness, favor from the Lord. What does this translate into? I've made a list. Abundant life. Well, hold on. Before I go through this list, see if you want this. Abundant life, the best quality of life possible, living well, being good at life, flourishing, a life lived in harmony with God and people, enjoying harmony in relationships, vitality of being. Where do I sign up, right? But there's a condition. All this goodness doesn't happen automatically. What? Ha! No. The word listen appears 29 times in Proverbs. The word hear 75 times. And this is it's not simply hear audibly, it's pay attention to, apply to your life, put it in shoe leather. Over and over and over again. Included in this amazing offer, abundant life, are the instructions of how do we acquire it. I'm a list guy. Here's another list. Choose. See, you decide. I'm really not happy with my spiritual life. Well, who's to blame? You know, we're a nation of victims. We have to look at somebody to blame. Choose life. You choose how close you want to be to the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us he's given us all the resources for life and godliness. Here's the instructions. You choose. Whoever listens to me, whoever doesn't forget my teaching, whoever lets his heart keep my commands, holding on to the word, keeping his commands and living, embracing, hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Obey my words and treasure my commands. He's using a lot of words to describe one thing. Take the word of God, treasure it, apply it to your lives, and you will live. Tragically, many believers go limping through life, plagued by depression and anxiety and broken homes, broken marriages, broken relationships, addiction, spiritual impoverishment, etc., etc. While all the time, the over-counter, free-of-charge remedy is at our fingertips in the wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs. Well, I have 5 minutes left. Point number three, death in Proverbs, and this is a very sharp point. Well, death in Proverbs certainly refers at times to literal death, The author paints a vivid picture of it beyond the loss of a pulse like the widow's, right? Death in Proverbs is associated with, I'm going to condense my message here and give you a list. Sickness, calamity, sin, weakness in life, going astray, missing true life, harming self, pursuing evil, ensnaring, lack of discipline, lack of sense. So in Proverbs, we see that life and death have a qualitative sense. And like Moses at the end of Deuteronomy, it seems that the authors of Proverbs are putting before us, just like Moses, life and death. Two paths, two kinds of existence and experience. Number one, an abundant life, a life well lived, secure, undisturbed by the dread of danger, happiness, favor from the Lord. And then the other choice, spiritual impoverishment, ruin, defeat, misery, emptiness that misses true life. Beloved, the path we choose will determine the quality of life we experience. Don't get into our culture and think you're a victim. The life we choose will determine the existence we enjoy in the here and now. Yes, there'll be negative things and death and calamity and finances and all that. So let's end with where we started and the big idea. God not only wants to save us from the lake of fire, He also wants to save us from a wasted life in the here and now. And so as we come to the end of our series on the book of Proverbs, I hope you've seen how we live will affect eternity in your finances, your tongue, your pride, etc., etc. I'm going to send you out with a short story. The story I've titled George Bolt, Hotel Manager. Here's how the story goes. George Bolt worked faithfully for years at the front desk in a small, out-of-the-way hotel. One day, an elderly couple came in to get a room. Unfortunately, there was something going on in town, and every room in his hotel, and frankly, every room in the town, was filled. Realizing the elderly couple had nowhere to sleep, George, who had a very small kind of closet-like room of his own in the hotel, he offered them his room. And they were kind of reluctant, but eventually they accepted George's offer. So they spent the night. The next morning, they get up, they're checking out. And the elderly man says to George, "George, you're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the country." And he looked at George and he said, "Someday I'm going to build that hotel and let you manage it." Well, you know, George didn't think anything of it. Years go by, and one day George receives a letter. And in that letter, it contained a round-trip ticket and a note from the man to whom he had given his room years before. And the man invited George to come to New York. When George arrived in New York, the gentleman took him to a downtown corner where a huge building stood. And the man said to George, "George, this is the hotel I've built for you to manage." Bolt stared amazingly at the glorious structure. You see, the hotel was the Waldorf Astoria. You see, the elderly man years back who George gave his room to was a man named William Waldorf Astor, one of the wealthiest men in the country. My dear brothers and sisters, George's faithfulness in managing that small hotel prepared him to manage one of the most magnificent hotels in our country. How you manage your life will determine what you manage in the future. We must apply the Word of God to our lives. In the same way the manner in which we manage our lives, our time, our resources, is going to impact what we manage in God's kingdom. As we like to say around here, we are in training time for reigning time. So I'm going to close by reading a verse. We're going to go back to Moses' sermon. Back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Moses said, I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. My brothers and sisters, the book of Proverbs has set before us today a choice. Life or death. Choose life. Father, I pray in this new year that like George, we would be faithful stewards of what you have given us. Lord, I pray that as a church, as a community of believers, we would use our volition to listen and hear your word and to put it into shoe leather in our lives. That, Father, we might enjoy an abundant life. Not only the duration part, but the qualitative part. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.